Hey, Kingdom Talk family, welcome back to It's a God Idea, Kingdom Talk 101, Season 3, Episode 25. Well, Kingdom Talk family, tonight we're going to talk about a topic that we've all heard about, but we're going to really dive into this topic, and it's for not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We're going to see exactly what God thinks about that. There's a whole debate about, you know, should we go to church? And, you know, I've heard people say, oh, well, God's not going to send anyone to hell because they don't go to church. And this, while it may be true, is still not in a situation where we're obeying a command. It's a command. So let's talk about that tonight. We're going to have on a special guest, Pastor Albino Cooper, who's going to help us also decipher the scripture and just give us a perspective from a different angle. So I hope that you enjoy tonight's episode, and we look forward to diving into this right after this quick message from Anchor. Welcome back to It's a God Idea, Kingdom Talk 101, Season 3, Episode 25. That's right, Episode 25. That means we have 5 more episodes before we conclude Season 3. Can you believe it? Season 3, fellas, ladies. Wow. God is so good, so good, so good, just so good. So tonight, everyone, we are back here again to talk about yet another hot topic as it relates to the kingdom. You know, we're all about kingdom business here, and that doesn't make, you know, being about kingdom business does not make you popular. I just want to just say that, put that out there, you know. But thank the Lord Jesus that he gave me broad enough shoulders and thick enough skin that I'm not concerned about my popularity. As long as only thing I'm concerned about is sharing the word of God, and God, it's a God idea, right? It's a God idea for a reason. This is his podcast, and I will definitely speak to things that speak that touch his heart, and in hopes that through doing so, we can bring light to his word, honor him in everything that we do, and show you guys love too, because see, love tells the truth. Love doesn't tickle ears, it doesn't, you know, sugarcoat. Only like you put some sugar on this thing, right? We want to season our words with salt, because you know, salt preserves, salt makes things taste a bit better, but at the same time, we want to also tell the truth. So tonight's topic is for not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. What does God mean by that? We want to talk about that tonight. But where this came from was a post that I saw on Facebook by a pastor, Carlos J. Rogers Sr. From New Chicago Kojic. And he posted, I just want to know from the smart people how it makes sense if the taxi is full, the bus is full, the plane is full, Walmart is full, Kroger is full, Target is full, but you can't go to church. God is truly going to judge us for some of our priorities. So That's a deep statement. That's a lot, you know, what he said. Is it all right? Is it all wrong? I don't know. You know, I know I can't speak to what God is going to do in terms of judgment. What I can speak to is, so this is what we're going to do. So what did Hebrews 10:25 mean, right? So personal contact with other Christians is not merely suggested by the Bible. It is commanded. A practical reason for this was given in the verse where it says, in Hebrews 10:25, where it says, relationships with other believers are one way to be encouraged to live out our faith that we proclaim. So we're called to hold fast through our own spiritual maturity, growth in faith. However, it is greatly influenced by having Christian examples around us. This is why the Great Commission was for the church to make disciples, not merely to talk about Jesus, as Matthew 28, 18 and 20 shares. Verse 24 commanded Christians to look for opportunities to inspire others to love and to do good works, right? So this verse specifically disapproves of failure on the part of Christians to meet with other Christians. The Greek term used is enkatalepiontes, right? Referring to an abandonment or forsaking. So the English Standard Version translates this term as neglect, since it implies a failure to do something one ought to be doing. In clear terms, Christians have an obligation to fellowship with other Christians. This is not only necessary for discipleship, but so that we can meet each other's needs and encourage and inspire other Christians in their faith. Hebrews 3:13, Colossians 3:16. So the context here, I believe, is that God, in God's own words, is found in the Old Testament scriptures, and they declare his intention to replace the old covenant with a new covenant. Jesus fulfills all of these prophecies and all of the symbolism found in the system of priests, the tabernacle, and animal sacrifices. So knowing that Jesus Christ is undoubtedly God's remedy for our sin, we should be encouraged in holding on to our faith in the face of persecution. However, that same confidence means dire spiritual consequences for those who know Christ's salvation but choose to act in defiance of his will. So that being said, now, let me just give a little bit more evidence to how it's important to God that we as believers come together. And if we go to Psalm 133 and 1, it says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down upon the beard, as on Aaron's beard, the oil which ran down upon the edges of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion, for the Lord commanded the blessing there, life forever." So it's really important to be unified in Christ. You know, so I want to go ahead and kind of bring in and introduce my panelists tonight. I have on tonight special guest, Pastor Alvino Cooper. Thank you for coming on, brother. So good to have you back on again.
I'm so grateful and glad that I had the opportunity to join the three most distinguished voices, defenders of the faith. I'm excited about tonight's topic. It's a deep topic, and God has a lot to say about it. So I'm ready to unpack.
All right. Again, and I want to also welcome you back, brother. I was glad when I knew I had an opportunity to get you on. I was like, nah, I got to get this guy, because you know I know that you work a lot, and it's tough, you know, to get you on. So I had an opportunity. I had to jump on it, man. So thanks for joining us again and being on. Want to welcome back Erica Finner.
Hey, good evening. I'm so happy to be here. How I feel about being your little sis will depend on how you treat me tonight, but I'm very, very excited to dig into this.
See why she's my little sis, y'all?
I'm sorry. That was my last one.
Mm-hmm. She's been coming for me, y'all, even before we got on air. I just want y'all to know she's just been in rare form tonight. She usually come for me, but tonight she's really been coming for me. So I'm just telling on her right now on air.
Y'all, that was my last one.
Pray for me, y'all. Pray for me.
Pray for me, too.
And of course, I'm gonna tell Daddy on you. Daddy, you here, right? And of course, I have to, you know, give a big shout out as I welcome on my co-host, Mr. Jesse the Messenger, all the way from Nova Scotia, Canada. He left us, y'all.
Hey, man. Only on stateside to come over here where my queen is, and I promise you, wherever the queen is, God has ordained for me to be here, and we're doing great things for the kingdom. So, look here, man. I am glad to be back on with the family, and it's great to have Brother Alvino Cooper on the air with us tonight. I'm excited to hear what God is about to speak through this brother. So, you know, I'm about ready to chill and just let it marinate for a minute.
He dropped for a second, but he'll be back on in a second here. He's just trying to settle down. It's all right. He's probably getting another cup of coffee. Thankfully, he's off tomorrow, so you don't have to worry about staying up too late. But I also, Jesse, want to go ahead and give you a time because I understand that you have some new T-shirt merchandise out here. And I really, you know, I told you I'm going to get me a couple of those tonight. So go ahead and tell us about these T-shirts, man, and how we can get these T-shirts of yours.
All right. Thank you, Brother Isaac, for that plug, man. And we have some new RPM shirts, the RPM Life shirts, that Radical Powerful Motivational Life, which is based off the life of how Christ lived his life daily, interacting with everyday people while being in the will of God for his life so that he could be impactful with his life on other people's life. So everything about the RPM Life is about how Jesus lives. So I say it all the time. It may be identified as a brand, but I look at it as a lifestyle, because when it's a lifestyle, it's very intentional how you treat others. It's very intentional what you say to be a blessing. And sometimes when we can identify with something and it's a reminder in front of us, it helps us to be more intentional in our efforts to please God in the earth. So those shirts are $20 each, with shipping of $15 coming from Canada. Whether you get one shirt, two shirts, or three shirts, the shipping will be the same. So, you know, we got them from medium all the way up to 2X. And we have them with they're all black T-shirts with the red writing across the chest of RPM Life. Very beautiful fonts. And we also have them in white, RPM Life across the chest, in a very beautiful font. So we appreciate that. And also, I do have a new shoe design that's out, and I call it the Street. It's RPM Foot Gear. Everything we do is about making sure you geared up to go do what God has called you to do that day. And this is the Street Soldier Edition. It's made out of Italian leather and black suede, all handmade in Italy. So they're made to order. They're not just sitting on the shelf. The moment you order it, within 15 or 20 days, you'll have it at your front door. Free U.S. Express shipping in the U.K., Europe, and also in the United States, but anything in Canada, you will pay an extra $50-some for tariff taxes and all of those kind of things. But I will definitely give you that link. It is aliveshoes.com/RPM-footgear. And you can look that up and get your pair of these anointed shoes. They're all red for the blood of Jesus. And the black suede is just showing us walking into darkness, and they coming out covered in the blood of Jesus because their lives are being changed. Ooh, we are.
Wow. I love it.
There you have it, you guys. You know, and I'm assuming also that link is somewhere on your Instagram as well, right?
Yes, sir. In the bio. Also on my Instagram, absolutely.
And that Instagram handle is
The Messenger RPM. The Messenger RPM, or Jesse the Messenger. You will not miss me. God only made one of me, so it ain't nobody else like me. Cause God is intentional, y'all.
Ooh. All right. Ooh, we. Wow. Okay, now look at Jesse. Okay, man. Listen, I told you after the show, I'll be getting two of those T-shirts, man. So
I appreciate you.
Looking forward to supporting what you're doing.
Yes, sir.
You got to support our men and women of God. Absolutely. So y'all guys, so let's talk about this, man. I want to go ahead and open up the floor right now so we can discuss. Why do you think it's important to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together? The Hebrews tells us not to do that, and it says that some do, but even the more as we see the nearing of Jesus's return, we should be, gather together. So let's talk about that. Does it matter whether we gather together in church, like he said? I already know the answer to this, but I want to hear you guys. And somebody got some background noise there going on, and does it matter? Does it have to be in church? Let's talk about this. Anybody just jump in on this.
I'll go first before, you know, because I know that Alvino and Jesse will both drop it and let it smoke. I do not think that it has to be.
Yeah, she's been on the show with us long enough. Lord. She got her own little plugs.
Help us, Jesus.
That was really my last one. But that's because of all the things that Jesse has said. He said a lot. I think that's a favorite thing. When he said that, I was like, you know, I think I'm going to steal that. And I'll give him credit. But that right there, like, I'm a drop this and let it smoke. I was like, that's real smooth. You got to be real smooth and special to say it for somebody to be like, man. That was amazing. I want him to drop a lot of things now and let him smoke. Yeah. But yeah, so I do not think that it has to be at church. I used to think that, but what the pandemic has shown me is that there are a lot of churches, because I attended one that were Sunday churches, where like we came together on Sunday, we worshiped together, we left, and then we saw each other the next Sunday. But what I've experienced more so in the pandemic is my family, we started a family Bible study. Yesterday I joined a Zoom Bible study that will be meeting every Monday. Now, I personally love church. I love going. I love serving. I love being a part of the worship. I love it. But I no longer believe that in that building on Sundays is the only place that I can be built up and fed and held accountable and grow in my walk. One of the things, because I was talking to a friend about it earlier, is when we see people and just to piggyback on the post that you read, Isaac, of being all these places and not going in church. One of the things that I thought about earlier was for the churches where people, quote unquote, aren't coming back, were they Sunday churches or were they community, like in the community, a part of it, a part of the lives, like being a part of it was a lifestyle or was it just something people did on Sundays? And I think that that has been a big differentiator in this. Is your church embedded in the community? Are you serving people? Are you meeting people? Are you evangelizing? Or are you going on Sundays, getting a word, and going home? So I 100% believe that it is paramount that we be together, that we grow together, hold each other accountable as believers, because iron does sharpen iron. Mm-hmm. I just don't know that I still believe that you have to be in church for that to occur, because there are so many virtual ministries now. And there are also just instances where we're discovering that Sunday wasn't enough in people who really were embedded and it was a walking this out, like small groups. All of this are the ones where I believe that you've seen them still continue to grow and thrive.
That's great. Wow. That's great. Well, for me, I agree totally with what my sister said. I've never thought that you had to be at the church to assemble together, because most of the time when God found us, it wasn't at church. It's just at the church where we ended up making our confession of our faith. You know what I'm saying? And I understand this, that everyone will not always come to the church building for whatever reason. And I always would ask God, I said, so what about the people that live out in the plains and different areas where there's no synagogues, there's no churches and all that? What do they do? Well, they commune amongst each other. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said it like this. I know what our foundational scripture is tonight, but check this out. What Jesus said in John 13:35. He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have loved one to another. How can you do that if you're not in the presence of each other? Mm. You see what I'm saying? Because check this out. Back then, they didn't have Facebook. They had face-to-face. They didn't have
Facebook.
They didn't have online. We came to your crib. You see what I'm saying? So Jesus said something, and he showed us the importance of us coming together. And it don't have to be in the synagogue, because the truth is, most of the poor people couldn't go to the synagogue. No way. They had to start gathering in homes. It was for the rich and famous, for the, so to speak, because that's why he overturned the tables in the temple, because they were robbing the poor people, giving them lame sacrifices and all these things. So they really couldn't go there. So unless you look like the aristocrats and all of that, you really, they really wasn't even there at the temples, because they didn't feel welcome, because the wealthy folks looked down on them. So now Jesus is meeting them in the streets and the highways and the hedges. And so now they're coming in contact with Jesus, coming into a relationship with God. And now as this gospel begins to spread, Paul now, they started teaching these people to gather in homes. So it ain't got to be in the church building, because the truth is, 1 Corinthians 3 and 16 say this, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells within you? Let that simmer.
Y'all be no drop. That's right. I mean, so since he's not, I'll wait till he comes on, and so I jump in here. Absolutely agree with both of you and what you had to say on that. Pastor Alvina, I want you to chime in on this topic.
Yeah, I'm ready. Yeah, but as I was listening to Jesse and Erica, you know, they broadened my whole perspective on the this on the whole issue, you know, whether we have to be in church or not. I have to come from a personal perspective, because to be honest, having been saved in prison, you know, the church was really, we had so many different volunteers coming in. I felt like we really had to kind of choose, pick and choose what ministries we would sit under, because you don't want to sit under the wrong teaching. But I always had the perspective that, like Jesse mentioned, that the church has always been described as the people of God when we come together. We're not, the church isn't an individual, but when God's children come together, we are the church, Christ is the head. So church was everywhere. Church was when we had prayer meetings, when we had Bible study, whenever believers came together under the auspices of Christ, it was the church. So from this pastor's point of view in Chicago, I can definitely see where he's coming from, because he's absolutely right. You know, people are going everywhere and doing everything they feel like they need to do, essentially. And I think churches have done, I know we have at Liberty, we have basically bent over backward, for lack of a better term, to make people feel comfortable about returning to church, you know? And so I don't see, I take into account the pandemic, and you know, we have people, members that have still decided they're not going to return until the pandemic gets under control. And but I mean, they'll say we're not going to go to church, but you know, they'll go to a birthday party. They will show up at they'll take a date night and go out. And so it's really kind of to me, I see it as an inconsistency. For me, I call the whole thing was a faith issue, you know? I hate to say it because it seems so extreme, but when Jesus was going back to the town, the for Lazarus to raise him from the grave.
Come on.
The disciple, the one that died, Thomas, I think it was, he was like, the disciple talking, he was like, don't he know that the Jews waiting on him back there? You know? And then one of the disciples like, let us go with him. I don't know. I think he said something like, if he dies, you know, we all gonna die, you know? But they decided to go anyway. And basically for me personally, and me and my wife and our household, it's been, we're not saying anything about people's comfort levels because the pandemic is real. But for us, you know, we're two healthy individuals, have no underlying issues. We decided that, you know, we were going to go back to church and participate because we felt like we really feel like that's something that that God stresses in the Bible, not just the building, but gathering together with other believers, you know?
Right.
Our choice was to go back to the building for that purpose, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and I like the way you kind of brought that to a different perspective about Great. That. Because the thing is, like, we have to consider this too. I says, people, it's definitely a choice. Right?
Everybody say people do what they want to do.
Right. You know, it's always been the case. People are going to make time to do the things that they want to do. And they're going to risk themselves, you know, risk, you know, their lives to do the things they want to do. I mean, this is the other thing that you got to consider too. Some people have, you know, like Erica was saying, you know, if you're doing Bible studies and you meet like people, we really have, we start a men's Bible study. We do every other Saturday, you know, and we personally, you know, Alvino and his wife, me and my wife and Pastor Teddy and his wife, we travel to each other's house every Sunday. We just rotated houses every Sunday. We had service right in our living rooms every Sunday and then ate afterwards. And it was awesome.
Let me interrupt one thing I forgot. I'm sorry. Okay. But I wanted to just comment on what Erica said about what she's doing. Everything she said about her gathering together and doing Bible studies, this, that, and that with her family and the virtual, she was so intentional about being with believers. And I think that's the heart. Right. Something God is going to look at our intent of our heart. You know?
Yeah. And that's what I was getting to. That was where I was going with that. I was going to say that we can, we don't have to be inside four walls. See, we are the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We join together. We are, the church is the body of Christ.
That's right.
It's not a building. It didn't say the church is the building of Christ. It's the body of Christ. It's a body of believers, not a body of people, because Erica made a point, a very good point, mind you, last week when we talked about doing this topic, was that not everybody on those planes, taxis, Kroger, Walmarts,
come on,
we're going to church anyway.
So, right.
We can't put them and look at them through the prism of this is a group of believers sitting on planes and trains and taxis and in Walmart. Now, while we know that many probably are, we can't project the expectations of a non-believer to go to church when they wasn't going to church anyway.
Right.
But as a believer, you know, we are commanded. It ain't even like an option. He didn't say, you know, if you don't want to, you know, just forsake not this. Don't forsake. You know, decide if you don't want to, you don't have to forsake. You know, just don't go to church. You know, it's up to you whether you forsake not thee. No, he said forsake not thee. That means that's a commandment. It's a command for us as believers because we need each other. We strengthen each other when he says, where two or more are gathered in. Let me say this again. Where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am. So if you, the King, the Spirit is in us and the King, we are the temple of the Lord, but by ourselves, iron can't sharpen iron. You need to commune together to be sharpened. You have to rub iron together for it to sharpen. And so we need two or more. Hold on 1 second, my sister. We need two or more people to be together before we can, you know, call ourselves the body of believers. You know, arm can't just be out there by itself.
Right. Arm is in the body by itself.
Exactly. So that is an important aspect of us coming together. No, it don't have to be. This house became a church, the body of believers coming together. Hit their house or wherever. Even if you're out in the field worshiping the Lord, but you together. That's what's important. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, my sister. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I didn't know you could tell it was me. That makes me very self-conscious about all the previous episodes when I took a deep breath.
I know my sister.
That you do. I mean, honestly, what you said, like what I was gonna say, you said yourself, because I think that is the thing. We need to fellowship. And sometimes people say, well, the Bible doesn't say you have to go to church. Well, it may not say Erica, Isaac, Jesse, Alvino, you have to go into the building, but it does say you have to fellowship.
Yes.
So if you are not fellowshipping and if you are not being the church, then what are you doing? So you can't say, well, I don't have to go. God knows my heart. Well, God also tells you to fellowship, because when you fellowship, there is accountability. When there is accountability, it keeps you closer to the word. And then you have people who you are walking this out with. So I'm not saying that everyone on that plane, everyone out who's just living life, doing what they do, has to be in church. But what I can say, and if we were to do a survey, is that they probably are not fellowshipping with fellow believers and digging into the word and doing all that. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, so you aren't comfortable going to church, but are you connecting? Are you spending time with God? Mm-hmm. Are you surrounding yourself with people who you are honest with, who are honest with you, who are saying, hey, this is not how we should be living. These are not, you know, you are bigger and you are past making A, B, C, D decisions. So no. Okay. Let's be real literal and say the Bible didn't say you had to go to church. It did say you have to fellowship, and it did say that you had to surround yourself. And it did say that you cannot be with unevenly yoked people and expect to be able to grow and deepen. So,
yes,
you know, you can't, even if you're not going, are you in Bible study? Do you have someone that you meet with every week to discuss verses or to just have a real conversation about where you are, what you're going through, how you're feeling? Are you connecting with God? Are you in your word? There are bigger things, deeper things than just going to church. And you can't use that as You're well, I'm not going to church, but I'm good because God knows my heart. He knows I love. I mean,
that's someone scary because he does know your heart.
Exactly. Exactly. Like,
hey, so check this out. I hear it all, and all of it is correct, and all of it is in order. But I just went back and I looked at that reading again. Here's what I think there is. Something that may be an oversight, because the way he's got it worded, it would give that illusion that you can't go to church as pointing a finger at them, because I agree with you all those people may not be church people and all that, so you can't assume that. But here's what I believe it is that the world allows, I'm gonna put it like it is, the government is allowing gatherings at restaurants, grocery stores, all of these different places where they make the money.
Where taxes can
absolutely be received. Come on, Brother Isaac. Mm-hmm. Where there is a benefit for them. And then the preachers and the ministers are saying, but we can't go to church and we got to go with a few members, but all the stores got more than 200 and 300 people in them. But
they're essential.
You see what I'm saying? Okay. Now, this is why Jesus didn't mix church and politics together. Mm. Well, this is what happens when you get in the bed with the enemy because you want a 501c3 nonprofit, all this. See, you ain't got to have that to come together in the Bible study. But because we got our buildings, because we want the amenities and the tax break, now you have allowed Caesar to get into church business. So now we got to play by the rules they're talking about. And now Jesus said this, render unto Caesar what is Caesar. You done got in the bed with it. So give him what he's asking for. But now, do you really know if you're the church or not? Let this pandemic come through, because some folks wasn't saved. Some of them were just members of a church on the roll. I'm calling it how it is. I ain't going to pretty it up. Because some people, how is it you done sat in church all this time when the pandemic hit, you can't function from Sunday to Sunday with this big old God you say you serve, and he can do great and mighty things, but now you lose sight on your faith? Come on now. I agree with Brother Alvino. From where he come from, and he discovered and found the Lord, and the Lord found him, he said, I needed that, because he was in an environment, there's too many other things, so I needed to be with the brotherhood right here in this assembly, because this is where my peace is. I agree with that, because wherever we meet the Lord is different. But as he has grown, him and his wife, listen at this man's faith. I'm listening in the spirit realm. His faith has said, look here, we well able-bodied people. God gonna take care of us. He's been taking care of us. We want to go back to the church building. We ain't scared. He said it. It becomes a faith matter. Now, if your faith ain't there, do what you gotta do. But the thing about it is, from the leadership, and we can get all political if we want to. Well, you know, you gotta obey the government. Well, you ain't have to get no church building. You didn't have to get the church building. But now when you allow the government to be into the inner workings of what God's work is, now you got to play by their rules until it starts telling you to do something ultimately other than what God said. Other than that, if it ain't telling you to do nothing wail against God, you got to play by the rules since you're in a sandbox.
That's right. Yeah, I want to comment on a couple of things.
Go ahead, Brother Alvino.
Jesse, brother, and Erica hinting on. Because you need the gathering, you need to be fellowship in order to grow. And then y'all were talking about the restaurants are full, they spending their money, the government is allowing this. It's like I want to look at a demonic base to this whole keeping people out, keeping the body of Christ separated. Because in the Bible, when Jesus did a discourse on Satan about telling he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, he was talking about the wolf. He described Satan as a wolf. And we all know what wolves do with sheep. Wolves just maul them and eat them and destroy them. But Jesus said the wolf comes to snatch the sheep and to scatter the sheep.
Come on. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Because they know that within, when they're in the herd, that's where they're safe and that's where their strength is. But once you scatter the sheep, so that's why I look at a demonic, it has to be some type of demonic aim at this thing. And when Erica was talking about, you know, the things that you try to do, you need to come together, fellowship, and grow. No, we were not commanded to go to church, but it is a command all throughout the Bible that we don't stay babes in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And we are commanded to grow, and we are commanded to mature in the Lord. And that's only, and Paul described in Ephesians 4, when he outlined the structure of the fivefold ministry, the structure of the church, the reason he said was for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. And he went into a whole, he say, and all this take place until, as a result, he says in 14, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth. And my note above that, I wrote the word in love. We are to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Christ. You know, the church is put there, the fellowship of the body of Christ is put there so that we will all grow up unto mm-hmm. into our standard, our example. That's Jesus Christ. But that only happens when that body comes together, you know?
Mm. Come on. And let me tell you,
I love that.
This brother, you hit it, because I was thinking about the same thing. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yeah,
now, the enemy has a plan, but God always has an ultimate plan.
Right.
And see, because you can't. Now, the truth is, if we study the scriptures, how did the gospel really spread?
Person to person.
Person to person. But look mm-hmm. at this, Brother Alvino. It only happened through conflict.
Yes. That's when the greatest growth.
Mm-hmm. When mm-hmm. conflict happened, it caused
God.
To have to spread out.
Jesse, what you happens? Hit the nail
now,
on the head.
It goes back to what you said, brother. It's that person to person. Because now you got a believer that's over here, and he gonna run into some other believer, and they want to know about this God you talking about. Why you live your life like that? Oh, you ain't know nothing about Jesus? Let me tell you about it. Now, conflict has happened, but in the grand scheme of God's plan, and that divine strategic plan,
mm-hmm.
conflict happens, but the gospel is spread.
That's right. Drop the mic, Jesse. Drop the mic, bro.
Mm-hmm. That was it. You see, I'm just sitting back letting y'all go ahead.
That was it.
Tap this thing.
If you go back in church history, the gospel spread the strongest and the fastest and the greatest when the church was under persecution.
Come on, bro.
That was it. That's it. And so, but, you know, I'm glad you said that, just because our perspective needs to be on that. Our perspective doesn't need to look at this as some type of defeat. We need to look at this as God's victory, you know?
Come on.
Man, that's
come
good.
On. As Sister Erica said in the beginning, said, are you evangelizing in these moments?
Yes.
Evangelize is simply witnessing. That's mm-hmm. all. Spread mm-hmm. that God. Man, I like what you just said, bro. We need to look at this. Man, this is a victory for the saints. He that has ears, let him hear.
That's right.
What
That's
the Spirit
right.
is saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's only fruitful when we get together.
Oh, how much, man, come on. Look at what's happening now.
Right. I mean, how much fruit can one tree bear? But when you get a bunch of trees together, you got to grow.
A whole orchard.
Isaac, right? That's what you're saying is scientific, because you have a male tree and a female tree. And mm-hmm. and the bees pollinate and cause the fruit to bud.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have two.
You know what? Look at this, y'all. Let me, for those that are listening that was wondering, I don't know. Okay, let me show you something. Look at the grand scheme of things. Because every last one of us on here are doing Bible study. I do a Bible study Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning at 10 o'clock from 10 to 11. Then I have another Bible study that's on Monday nights from 7 to 8:15. Look at what happened since this pandemic has happened. But then on this, it's always a God idea to have kingdom talk. Look at, we are all over the world with this podcast. Mm. Doing what? Spreading the gospel. Through this pandemic that looked like it was shutting down things. No, God used this thing to blast open some things.
God
He meant for evil, God meant for good.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's when you mm-hmm. know it's from God. I always say, if we want to know something is from God, look at the character behind it.
Come on,
right? Man. God, when God says something, it's going to produce. It's not going to reduce. It's going to produce.
Mm.
And so, when God does something, it bears fruit. So it's a God idea. Kingdom Talk 101 was even the name He gave it. I didn't even come up with the name myself. So. It's His idea, and then it fell in place just in the nick of time. Because remember, this podcast started before the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Come on, man.
January 3rd was when this podcast kicked off in 2020. So he was already ahead of time. Me and Pastor Alvino did our very first episode right here sitting on the couch in my living room.
Okay? Hey, sound like y'all were doing like Jesus. Jesus told him in Matthew 28:19-20, go ye into all the world and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Check this out. They were still in Jerusalem at that time. Jesus hadn't even went to the cross yet. Ooh. He hadn't even shown back up after the resurrection yet. But he's telling them, y'all go do this. Right. Y'all go do this. Because it's something greater coming. John the Baptist preached about Jesus before Jesus showed up. So God is always ahead of schedule.
Always.
Always ahead of schedule.
Always.
Man, y'all got me. Boy, Brother Alvino, man, come on now. You can't stay away too long no more, brother. You got this thing fired up tonight with us.
Hey, when I can get him on, I get him on, man. Bro. You know, he's not always available on Tuesday nights, but this time he was, you know, really, he was available, and the Spirit was like, nah, you need to pull him on in. Look, I always aim to do what the Spirit tells me. I ain't say I'm always on point with it, but I always aim to do it.
This night is golden, man.
I listen to the podcast, and, you know, you guys are, you know, phenomenal at being faithful to speaking the truth and putting it out there so that people can, because there's so much information out here and there's so many ways to go astray. You know, we people cling to truth and authenticity. That's what I'm trying to say. And so the podcast is such a platform, you know, y'all just don't know. I'm thankful that Jesse and Erica are so faithful and just so so authentic and and faith. I'm like I said, I'm very inspired. I listen to the podcast, y'all, and so many people that y'all don't even know come to me because they know me and Isaac, you know, tight. Come to me and talk about what they got from the podcast and how it dispels some lies that they were following. It's y'all just don't know. I might start writing down what they say because y'all need to hear this, man.
That's encouraging to know that, because a lot of times, you know, you can, that's why the word says that don't grow weary with doing good. Because sometimes you're doing good, but you're like, man, I ain't seeing no fruit from this, you know, and that's not always the case. That doesn't mean the seeds weren't planted and they're not growing. The date tree seeds takes years to grow, right? When Joshua got to the promised land, he planted the date tree seed, right? And that tree took years to grow. So a seed, it was deeply rooted and it was growing underneath the ground.
Yes, sir.
So you just don't know what's happening, you know, under the surface. But something I want to also swing back to. So I shared this post, right? This pastor's post. And I didn't say anything. I just had like three emojis, like with my mouth, like, you know. So I shared this, and I would be remiss if I didn't add this point to it too, right? So one thing about it is the first people in my comments, the first people, and I'm not saying any names, right? Because one of the people was family, you know. So, they're the ones who, you know, God ain't sending people to hell for not going to church, right? And to tell the truth, quite a few people that go to church gonna bust hell wide open. However. And I'm like, yes, and that's true. That's right. God is not going to condemn people to hell because they didn't go to a building.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But let me also say this. Quite a few people who don't go to church are going to also, many people who don't go to church who are also going to bust hell wide open. So your point is, you know, and the thing about it is I was telling V today, I said, a hit dog going to holler. So, you know, in other words, biblically speaking, you know, when the shoe fits, you know, the word of God is convicting. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, right? And so when it begins to divide the soul and the spirit, the joint and the marrow, you know, you start to holler a little bit.
Revealing the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Exactly. So then it's going to come, it reveals. That the key word, it reveals the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So
I'm glad you brought that back.
Yeah, because that's the other part, that's the other side. Like, I'm like, everybody that was in my comments, that was in my comments was like people that don't go to church and wasn't going to church before the pandemic.
Right.
And so as I've been hearing everybody's perspective, my heart has been, or I think the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me that, you know, believers that may be on the fence on this issue are going to hear the different perspectives and be encouraged to be intentional, as Erica was talking about earlier. You know, if you're not comfortable going to church, you know, you got to find some kind of way. I mean, like you the do. Bible says in Hebrews, it says, those who, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Come on, man.
But those that come to him must know that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently,
come on,
exactly,
diligently pursue him. So, you know, they have to find some kind of way to come together with other believers and grow through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, you know?
Exactly. You know what, Brother Albino, man? You know, I say it all the time, because sometimes I feel like I'm the Peter of the crew and y'all clean up some of my mess.
I might have to wrestle you for that one. I might be the Peter.
Let me tell you something, man. I like how you so eloquently put that, brother, because I wish I could put it together that eloquently like that. But in other words, you saying, really, y'all need to check your faith level. That's really what you're saying, and say, like, check your faith level and see if it's lining up with what God is saying. Cause if you ain't operating by faith, you operating in flesh, and you will not ever please God. You can't please him. You say without faith, it is impossible to please God. In other words, you will not do work that glorifies God without faith, because it would only glorify your flesh. In other words, make your flesh feel good. It make my flesh feel good staying at home, and I give you every reason why, but when I got to go to work, I got to get my check, you know? See, sending all perspectives of now, this is for believers. We ain't expecting the unbeliever to think like that. But the Bible is for everyone to read. But the truth is, it's for the children of God.
That's
to
right.
See the fatherhood of God that will protect us, that will provide for us, that will be with us, that will give us the insight of how to do everything. He is the ultimate father. Whatever you think an earthly father should do or can do or will do, God does it a billion times better.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's a good father.
Man, he's a good father. He ain't gonna leave you out there like that. And then I'm gonna let's keep it 100. You ain't gonna get out of this thing alive, no.
Right.
I'ma just let that, I'ma turn the pot up a little hotter on that one, Erica. I ain't gonna even let that sit. Let's let that one boil a bit. Unless you get caught up in the rapture, you ain't getting out alive.
Right. If you don't get caught up in that rapture. but even if you you happen to depart before, the statistic is 1 out of 1.
Say, man.
So it's 100% possible that you're going to die.
Say, man, if I got to leave up out of here, I'd rather go in a group of my brothers and sisters that's praying and saying, Lord, just bring our brother in on in style. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I don't want to go in the midst of unbelievers. Mm-hmm. I'd rather, if you, Lord, you're calling me home, I'd rather go home with my brothers and sisters, not mm-hmm. a bunch of jokers smoking blunt and talking about, man, I knew it wasn't under that God. No, I don't know why they kept going down that church. No way. Now, right. Put me in the circle with some believers right. that say, you know what? We may not be in the church building, but this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice in it and be glad in it. In other words, a saint can rejoice wherever God has. Now, our brother Albino said where he met the Lord, and you tell me? The Bible already tells us, look at believers that got locked up in jail right. and then those that were saved after seeing believers in jail for doing the will of God. Man, let me tell you something. In other words, you can't be somewhere God can't visit you.
Right.
We said that last week. Man, God has no limit. Man. You can't put limits on God. Like, every crevice, every crack, you cannot put limits on where he can reach people man, and change on, their man. Lives.
I come like on, that song, man. On. That song man. Where it said there's no that reckless love of God.
See, I love that song. Man.
What? He says there is no shadow he won't light up, no mountain he won't climb up coming after me.
Come on, man.
No wall he won't kick down, no lie he won't tear down coming after me. No shadow he won't light up, no mountain he won't climb up coming after me. Man. Now that's the God that I'm gonna look. I know he's gonna come after me. I know mm-hmm. he got me. And if you walk by faith, then you will have faith. Faith right. begets more faith. Mm-hmm. But if you walk in fear, guess what's gonna happen? You're gonna be fearful.
Yeah. yeah.
And that ain't of God. For yeah. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So, man. You know, if yes. we really think about this thing, if we really critically think about it, mm-hmm. right? When you go out your house every day, you are subject to a car accident. And some people may have already had one before. So did you stop driving your car? Did
Come
you
on,
get a new car? Or did you just say, you know what? I'm not going to drive ever again because I had a fender bender. Or I was in a car accident. I live, but you know, and I didn't get hurt, but I'm never going to drive again. Or I got a really bad cold. And because of that, I'm never leaving the house and never going to be around anybody ever again. Right. Mm-hmm. But no, we do the things that we want to do that are suitable for us. You know, so again, it doesn't, we're not talking about a building here. We're talking about communion.
Mm-hmm.
Communion, it entails intimacy, right? It means to be intimate with others. You commune with them. And you can't really be strengthened in your faith. That's why when somebody said they have grief, yeah, these things called grief share, right? When people who have lost a loved one or who have gone through some traumatic instance in their life, they have what? Communities where people come together for grief share, because one person by themselves leads to depression, loneliness, and it can even kill you, right? So you need somebody that you can lean on. And that's what Jesus was doing, was setting up a foundation for us to have one another. He said, a new commandment I give to you, a new commandment, to love one another as I have loved you, and by this, all men will know that you are my disciples.
Yes, sir.
If you just standing there and you're not helping each other out, or you're not engaging with one another, how are you being? Look, I just believe that there's no such thing as an untimely death. We all have a time to be born, and we all have a time to die. And I believe that if we can probably speed up God's hand, if we just being useless, because scripture says that every tree that does not produce will be cut off and thrown into the fire. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're sitting at the crib and you're like, you know what, on Sundays, I'm good. I'm just going to do me. I ain't even got to log on to no church service. I mean, the church is in me. You know that? You heard all the arguments. The church is in me. I'm in church. Okay. But don't know what the word of God says, or don't care. Or you just like, I'm skipping church. I'm about to watch my football team. You know, NFL back. It's, you know, it's football is back. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I'm just saying, look, no judgment here. but correction here.
No judgment,
but correction is here. Yes, Lord. You know, yes, and this is what this is about. This is not about judging somebody. This is about giving you clarity in your decision making.
Yeah.
If you sit in that, some people have actually walked away from the church. Let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. Some people, they got it. They were in church before the pandemic, and like Erica said, some people were Sunday churchgoers.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll show and you didn't talk with anybody until Sunday again. But then as soon as this hit, some people walked away from church and ain't looked back and ain't been to another church. And I know this for a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And brother Isaac, that's a very powerful point, because here's what I believe, brother, because it's too many people that's holding on to the faith, but there are so many that walked away and they want to turn back and point the finger, cause the church didn't do that. You know what I believe that is right there? Those are people that were stuck on milk and refused to eat meat because eating meat requires you to cut it up sometime. Sometimes it requires you to get your hands dirty. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But see, when you're on baby food, somebody spoon feeds you all your life. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And so some people, Paul told him, he said, I can't even talk to you with and give you real food because you're still on milk. You're still on baby food. In other words, you're being immature.
Right.
Not that he wasn't teaching mature scripture, is just some of them refuse to grow. When people get comfortable, God will shake up with your comfort zone.
Absolutely. He
will shake it up, because God is in the, you said it earlier, brother, God is in the business of expansion.
That's it.
Everything about God is expanding. Even when he prunes us, like they prune a tree, is for expansion.
Mm-hmm.
It is not, only time you see the tree is cut down is when it's not producing, just what you see.
That's right.
So, that's right. You know, and the thing about it is, and those that have walked away and pointed the finger back at the church, well, the truth is you got to point the finger at yourself, because the Bible says you are the church. You are the temple of God. But evidently, if the Spirit of God was not in you and you can point a finger of blame at a man, that says you wasn't trusting in God, know him.
You know, Jesse, I just got, maybe this is a word of knowledge from the Father, but I thought about Jesus when he cursed the fig tree. By God's grace, he allows us to grow up, right? And he says, any tree that does not produce will be cut off and thrown into the fire. The fig tree was a full-grown tree.
Yes.
It was capable of producing. But when we get to a point where we're just full-grown and we're not going to produce it, what did he do? He cursed the tree and it shriveled up and died. In other words, he cut it off. And if we're going to be in this thing, we have a job to do. You know, we tend to think that only the pastor or the elders or the deacons or the minister of music or whomever that has a tie, ushers, but every believer is important to the body. Yeah. Everyone. That person that's like for example, somebody that travels for a living for their job, like me and Erica used to do, right? You have a job. That means that if Jesus said that somebody who hands a glass of water to someone, you know, and for his sake would receive 100-fold in his kingdom, that means something. A glass of water?
Come on, that means
that a kind word, an encouraging word, that's important to Jesus. So don't sit here and think that you're not important in the body. Maybe that's what's happening. Maybe a lot of people have not gone back because they don't think that they matter. But I'm here to tell you right now, in the name of Jesus, that you matter.
You matter
to the kingdom. And this is why we're here in love, telling you that, you know, whatever you to choose to do, it doesn't mean you don't have to come to a building, right? But you do need to commune with other believers. You need to be sharpened. You need to get off the milk and get onto some steak. Get onto some chicken. Get onto some meat. Because the meat of God's word is what builds strong bones and muscles. right?
You know, man, that's so powerful. Brother Isaac, let me tell you something. I know you play sports and all this kind of stuff as well as I did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if I'm on the football team, the only way for me to benefit from what the team has to offer,
I gotta
be in the same place where they are, mm-hmm. although my position may be different.
Correct.
But looking across that field, knowing there's some running backs over it, man, I'm a part of this team. You know
that's
what
right.
I'm saying?
That's right.
That's some receivers over it, man. That's my teammates over there. Mm-hmm. It make you feel good, and you could only be just a kicker.
Great
that
analogy.
Only gets on the field 3 or 4 times a game.
And will win the game because of you.
It can win the game.
Team will not have won without that right kick.
Man.
We done said it too many times.
Boy, it goes back to what y'all said earlier. Everybody matters. So, yes, it matters us coming together, whether it be in the building or we have to gather online, doing Zoom, or we come together in small groups. I love this beautiful conversation because every last one of us on here tonight are part of small groups.
Yes.
And look at the growth of where we are now. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Look at the growth of how God has done. But just think, during this pandemic, if we didn't open up our faith eyes and see an opportunity to seize the moment for us to come together in a way that we have never really probably done it in a long time. Man, I think this has been one of the most powerful growth moments in my life, bro.
Mm-hmm.
For real, sis. This right here, because look at this. I've never met Sister Erica in person. Listening audience, I've never met this woman in person. This is my sister, but mm-hmm. we got kindred spirits and we can feel it. Her and Isaac have never met in person.
Mm-hmm.
But look at what God has done through a pandemic. Here's an opportunity. Here's a podcast that he laid on Brother Isaac's heart a couple of years ago. He put it in action, and look at what God is doing. You see what I'm saying? So, no, the church building is not necessary, but it is essential whenever we're available to go to it. So when you can't go to it, what do? You got to think. You got to ask God for insight. You got to ask God for wisdom. He'll say, put a small group together. Then the scriptures back us up. Brother Isaac said it earlier. Where 2 or 3 are gathered together, where 2 or more are gathered together, in my name, I will be in the midst. So God, in other words, God got this whole thing covered,
mm-hmm.
but you got to seek it out.
Mm-hmm. And Brother Vino had a drop, right? But he texted me. He said, I had a point that I want to make, but he said, for some reason, says his Wi-Fi is not letting him connect. I ain't number Satan. But you know what? He said that
dirty devil.
I know. He's a little stinking, musty joke anyway. Anyway.
Limey rascal.
But we're going to go forth. God's word will not be thwarted. Okay? Not tonight. Anyway, so what he said, though, was he said that he was going to say that as believers, we should also consider the bema seat of Christ.
Ooh,
and losing man. Rewards for where our heart is going to be the issue. You know, Jesus said that friendship with the world is enmity with God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you are a friend of the world, you rather have the things of the world, then you're God's enemy. And that's just point blank. So,
right.
You know, when we stand, we shall all stand before him one day and give an account, right?
Yes, sir.
And be judged for whatever we did in the body, whether good or bad. Some translations say evil.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, see, like, well, how can a saved person stand there and be, yeah, because when we were saved, we still were in flesh.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes, falling short.
Exactly. And sometimes in flesh, you led by your feelings more than you led by the spirit. And if that's the case, you're going to be judged for that. We all going to have to give an account for what we did in the body as believers. When we came, that doesn't know that you're not going to hell at standing before the bema seat. Praise God for that. But you still have heavenly rewards that are on the line. And I'm sorry, man. When people say, well, you know, I just want to make it in. I'm like, no, that's you're talking about eternal life.
Yeah.
That means you're going to, whatever your reward's going to be, they're going to be your rewards eternally for all time.
Right.
Never ending. You say that, but you're going to notice other people in heaven who have done great works for the Lord and who are going to have wonderful rewards. And no, you're not going to be jealous or angry at them or anything like that, but right. you're going to still feel feel something for like, man, I wish I would have done more. I wish I would have done that volunteer mission or that gone on that mission that the Lord, my heart was pricking me to go on. Or I wish I would have joined that Bible study or showed more faith, you know, in just trying to assemble with a couple people or whatever that is that the Holy Spirit has been pulling you to do. That's going to come up again. And it's the same for unbelievers. I'm, as you know, I'm in school right now. And my first lesson was on Your Kingdom Come, right? And it talked about part two I just finished a paper on was about the present state, intermediate state, and the final state. We are in the present state right now, the end times. But the intermediate state is when we pass and we're waiting for the resurrection, right? For all to mankind to be resurrected. And then there's the final state when he does resurrect all mankind and judge. And for those who are the regenerated, that's the believer, you've been regenerated, you have a foretaste of heaven now. You are saved and have eternal life now. And a lot of believers don't realize that we have eternal life. It doesn't happen. They think it happens when we die. No, we have eternal life. Henceforth, your name has been written. It didn't say it's going to be written. It said has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Erica's name is in the Book of Life. Jesse's name is in the Book of Life. Albino's name is in the Book of Life. And praise God, my name is in the Book of Life. Mm-hmm. And so you have eternal and you have a foretaste of the age to come now. You experience blessings right now, right? But because to whom much is given, much is required. If you're receiving these blessings and this foretaste now, do you think that God doesn't want something in return? No, he didn't earn the blessings. He gave them to you, but he nonetheless requires you to do things because you're saved, not to get your salvation. So, and the same goes for the unbeliever, the unregenerated. Those are the ones who are essentially spiritually dead. Jesus called that out in his interaction with the man who was he had invited to follow him. He told him to give everything up and come. He said, well, let me go and bury my father. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Right. He said, let the spiritually dead bury the spiritually dead.
Yeah.
And come live with me. Come have life with me. So we have to understand that at some point we're gonna have to have that appointment with him. It's just a matter of which side you'll be on. And that's it. But as believers, we are commanded to commune together. It's not an option. And if we know the great I am, and all you gotta do is read about him, he does not play. He's a loving, yes, just God, but also he's a just God. Understand that part. So, man, this topic it has been just, man, Holy Spirit just always knows what to do. And the way that he put this together using Erica, using Jesse, using Pastor Alvino, using myself, I love it. I love how he rolls. As Jesse said, he's so cold with it. You know, he's so cold with it, you know. But guys, I just, as we close out, man, I want to just say that for those of you who are not saved, can't you see what's going on? All you got to do is look around. The world is absolutely gone nuts.
Yeah.
But it's all been foretold. But it doesn't have to be bleak for you, right? I don't wake up like, oh my God, oh, it's just so terrible. I'm so afraid. No, because I'm like, I got peace. He said he gives us that peace that passes all understanding. When we are in Christ, we have peace no matter what's going on. Bombs over Baghdad can be going on, but we have peace because even if I get hit by one, guess what? Within seconds, Not even. I'm already in glory. And Jesus is coming to take me. Because I, as I did a study this week, his word says that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so, but I really dug into that. He didn't say, I'm coming to receive you to myself in the rapture only. He said, I come to receive you to myself. You are his bride. Even if you pass away, Jesus himself is coming to receive you and usher you in to the presence of his Father. Think about that.
Yes,
that's
sir.
How important you are to him. That he will come and get you only and usher you in to the presence of his Father. I come to receive you to myself. Man, come on, man. Who wouldn't want to serve that God?
Come on, brother.
So think about that, man. You guys have so much that it's like having an opportunity, you know, on something and missing it. Don't miss this. I missed a lot of opportunities, but this one right here, I am so determined never to miss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you know, we have to work this salvation thing out each day between, you know, before the Lord with fear and trembling. And so it's not like, oh, yeah, I get saved and I'm good. I can just do whatever, hang out, you know. No, it's some work to be done in the kingdom, man. We're trying to bring his kingdom here. So get saved, man. And all you got to do is just repent. Ask the Lord to come into your life and tell him that you want to serve him for the rest of your days. And guess what? He'll show up and he's going to show out through you. So I want to thank my brother Albino for joining us today. And I'm so thankful that I had this brother on, man. He is such a deep, just cerebral brother, man. He gets in that word. And I just love him. We have conversations that go on and on and on for over an hour, man. And that's just good to have brothers and sisters that I can just chop it up with like that, you know, about the word, you know. I want to thank my sister Erica for going easy on me tonight. She ain't really give it to me too hard. I've tried to keep the peace, you know what I'm saying? The Bible says it, to be at peace with all men, right? So I tried to be at peace with my sister today. Thank you, E, for going easy on your boy and coming on and supporting us as always.
Thank you for having me. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
and my brother Jesse, the messenger.
God bless it, brother. God bless you, man. Let me tell you, it's always a pleasure to be on and talk kingdom talk with my brother and sister. And I just have to say this, man, sis, you have allowed God to just relax you and flow, and it's a beautiful thing to see, because there is such confidence when you say what you saying.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, man, I don't know why she won't go and cut loose. She got some heavy stuff, but all of a sudden that week happened about 3 weeks ago, and it's just been on fire. Do not lose it. I love what you bring to the table. It just makes the podcast so much richer. You know what I'm saying? Keep doing what you're doing, sis.
Yes, yes, sis. You
Thank you
definitely have found your place. I can see that for
absolutely,
sure.
Man.
You know, and as we just get ready to close it out, man, I just wanna you know, remind you of that reckless love that God has for us. I mean, he's just everything, right? He just cares for us in a way, you know. And this is the song, if you haven't heard of it. This song right here, y'all. And then there is the hook. He has a reckless love for us, now, y'all. I mean, this God is just amazing. Remember that. You'll never ever find a God like this. There is none like him. No, nor shall there ever be one like him. No mountain you won't climb up coming after me. So, y'all, thank you again for tuning in once again to It's a God Idea Kingdom Talk 101, and remember that it is always a God idea to have Kingdom Talk. God bless you, and God keep you, and may you have a fantastic rest of the week.
Good night. Amen. God y'all bless.
Good night, y'all. Love y'all.
Love y'all, too.
Well, Kingdom Talk family, thanks again for tuning in to yet another episode of It's a God Idea Kingdom Talk 101. Remember that it's always a God idea to have Kingdom Talk.